let's magnify his name together. Exalt him. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. Lift your voice. Lift your voice in praise, adoration to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the living God. Praise the living God who reigns forever. Amen and amen. Well, welcome to Pentecost. And it was David in the 34th Psalm who first penned those words. Actually, it was an invitation that kind of echoes down the halls of time. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And I've thought in the past, and it came to my mind again today, that if David could be brought back to life and planted in this service today, I'm certain he'd be astounded. I think he'd even be a little bit frightened. The electric lights, the sound system, the musicians and the instruments that we have here. And I know he would think we dress funny, wouldn't understand our language. All kinds of things would just bewilder him. But I'm convinced of this, there'd be one common thing. The presence of Almighty God. Even though he didn't have the New Testament revelation of Jesus' name, he'd recognize we're worshiping the same God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's an invitation that every believer can accept today. We're in the presence of the Almighty God, the one true living God. We know his name is Jesus. Would you join with fellow believers right now and lift your voice? Say what you want to say, but make it unto him today. Say it unto the Lord your God. Bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God. And I'm sure David would have been thrilled if he could have been there in the day of Pentecost as well, as we would have too. But thanks be to God, in 2017, the Pentecostal experience is still real, still available to everybody. Every believer can experience it. I'm going to read from John chapter 6, verse 66. Don't panic. This is not a message on the mark of the beast. John 6 and verse 66. And this is breaking into really the conclusion of some teaching of Jesus Christ that was very challenging. In fact, so much so, verse 66 of John 6 tells us, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So what he had shared with them was just too much for them to commit to. And so they left following. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, those that he had handpicked, do you also want to go away? Verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And verse 69, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's from verse 69 where Simon Peter says, we've come to believe, that I take my theme today. And I've just titled this simply, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. And admittedly, this message is going to kind of wave the flag for believers today. I'm not going to persuade the majority of you, but I do hope you're encouraged by the word of the Lord. I do hope that your belief is affirmed. But I do want to say this, if there's anybody here who has not yet, in the words of Simon Peter, come to believe in Jesus Christ, or maybe you have some faith, but you just haven't fully committed to him, I pray that this message will help convince you of both the need and the benefit of putting your faith into Jesus Christ. Anybody believe that it's rewarding to put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that? Would you, with that lifted hand, just offer some more praise to Jesus? That's the one in whom you believe. That's the one in whom you placed your faith. Lord, we trust you and worship you and glorify you. For you alone are worthy. You alone are deserving of our praise. Amen and amen. We worship and praise the living God. Amen. I'm a believer. You may be seated. As a little foundation for this message, a couple of questions. One, what does it mean when someone says, I'm a believer? Well, some of you of a certain age and certain era think I'm talking about Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, who sang the lead on the hit song, but you would be wrong. In fact, of very little interest to the majority of you, there was a trio years ago, I guess in the early 70s, called the Parkers, Singing Parkers, or Parker Trio, I don't know, Joe, Kathy, and Sally. And they actually changed the words of that song and made it about Jesus Christ. I'm a believer. without a trace, no doubt in my mind. And they sang that. And of course, I digress. Let me go on. But to help you understand what it means when someone says, I'm a believer, here's some one-word definitions, or really they're synonyms. When you say I'm a believer, you're saying I'm a disciple. I'm a follower. I'm a supporter. I'm a backer. Or I'm an adherent, a partisan, an enthusiast. And this one might be a little too lighthearted for our subject, but even a fan. That's what you're saying when you say, I'm a believer. But then the next question is, believer in what? Well, to put it in context, clearly we're not at a political rally today. So we're not talking about a belief in a political system. We are not at a business meeting of a corporation. We're not at a conference on crime prevention or a forum on the economy or even an entertainment event. This is a church. And more specifically, it's a Jesus name church. So when I preach about being a believer today, I'm preaching about being a believer in Jesus Christ. As Simon Peter said it, we have come to believe and know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So that's what I'm preaching about today when I preach about believing. It's in Jesus Christ. And by the way, I purposely gave the title or put it in the first person. I really don't want this to be a solo act that you just sit there and watch, but I put it in the first person, I'm a believer, in the hopes that you can take some ownership of this message and something in your spirit can say, I'm a believer. I have faith in Jesus Christ. I've committed my life to Him. I hope that you can make it your own today. And if you want to say amen or that's right along the way or just nod your head and pat your foot, that's okay. But I think you agree, it's a privilege to have put faith in Jesus Christ. We've got reason to celebrate, don't we? If you believe in Jesus, you've got a cause to rejoice on this Sunday morning because you've put your faith in Him. You can say, I'm a believer. And the Church of Jesus Christ that started with believers, men and women who were called out of darkness into marvelous light, they were certain of their faith. In Matthew's gospel, we're told that Jesus, this is the 16th chapter if you want the reference, he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And their answer was, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets. So clearly there was a lot of opinion at that stage about Jesus and his identity and what he was all about. And they were just offering, you know, the latest opinion polls. But Jesus wasn't interested in that, and so he made it more pointed. He said, but who do you say I am? And that's a question for your heart today. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is he in your life? He said, who do you say I am? And it was Simon Peter, just as he did in John chapter 6, who spoke up and said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that revelation, Simon, hasn't come of your own. It's come from your Father, which is in heaven. And he went on to say, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's how the church started. It was certain about the founder. Jesus Christ is the founder of this church. And they were certain about their faith in him, and they were certain about their future because of him. They started out that way, and it continued with certainty. The apostles, after the day of Pentecost, they had gathered there, and the Spirit had been outpoured. They were filled with it. And afterward, you can read all through the book of Acts, they were men and women of conviction. There was no doubt about Jesus Christ. Not a trace. No doubt in their mind. No doubt about his teachings. No doubt about his salvation. No doubt about their mission, and there was no doubt about their reward if they would stay faithful to Jesus Christ. And may I just suggest the obvious today, that today's church, also made up of believers, men and women called out of darkness into marvelous light, those who have put their faith in him, we too must have no doubt. If the church is going to survive, we've got to have full faith in Jesus Christ. Because the church that wavers is unsure. The church that is divided in its opinions is going to be indefinite. If we've got more than one opinion about God, about the Bible, about salvation, or any other aspect of the teachings of the church, then we're going to be indefinite, unsure, uncertain. But the church that is certain about Jesus, the church that is certain about who he is, the church that is certain about his word, that's a stable church. That's a strong church that is so vital. Hey, the church that is sure of who it is, why it's here, and where it's going is a church that's advancing. It's a church that's going forward. It's a church that's doing the will of God. And Jesus threw in, as you do it, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you glad for that certainty in your soul today? I'm a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I know what I'm a part of. I know why we're here. I know where we're going. Amen. It's important that everyone in the household of faith be able to say, I'm a believer. I'm a disciple. I'm a follower. I'm a supporter of Jesus Christ. And one of the synonyms for believer, another one that I came across, was hanger on, a hyphenated word, H-A-N-G-E-R hyphen O-N. And as I read it, I think it was kind of meant to be a derogatory or insulting description, but I don't mind that one bit. I'm a hanger on when it comes to Jesus Christ. I'm a hanger on that there is but one God who manifests himself in the person of Jesus Christ. He's above all, through all, and thank God he's in you all today. I'm a believer in the Father of all, meaning he created everything in this universe. I'm a believer that God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm a believer that God took dust of the ground, formed a man, breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's my faith today. And I know scientists would scoff at that. In fact, they might even pity me for having that kind of faith. But that doesn't bother me. I'm a believer today. I'm a hanger on today. And they might disagree, skeptics, but I'm a hanger on to the fact that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. I'm a believer today, and they may laugh at me or ridicule me to say, but I'm a believer. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how I've got this book today, because God gave it to me. God preserved it. God brought it down to this generation, because his truth will endure to all generations. I'm a believer today that this is the sole authority for all matters of faith and practice. I'm a believer today that this book guides us in matters of morality. You know, it's here where we learn that we're not supposed to murder, commit adultery, lie, steal, or desire wrongfully what isn't ours. This is where we get all this. We didn't dream it up. It's not just the laws of some civil society. It comes from this inspired word of God. That's how we should live our lives. That's how we should conduct ourselves. And we also know from this book, and I'm a believer in this, a hanger on, even though it's unpopular, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A sobering subject, but it is the truth. And it further tells us, sadly, that the wages of sin is death. And that's a bit frightening for your soul's sake, if you think about it, if you're still in sin. But lest we be dispirited, I'm also a believer. I'm also a hanger-on in the miracle of salvation, the hope of sinners. Hey, I'm a believer today that the power of the highest overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and that which was born of her was the Son of God. I'm a believer today that was born in Bethlehem in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm a believer today that at the age 33, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin. He did it once, and he did it for all. And today, because of that in our faith, he is our atonement this morning. It's the blood of Jesus that will cleanse us from all sin. It's the blood of Jesus that will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I believe in what transpired on that old rugged cross. Anybody else believe that? It was more than just a good man being wrongfully executed. The Bible says the precious blood of Christ is what redeems you. If you'll put your faith in that sacrifice today, I promise you, all your sins will be washed away. All your sins will be forgiven. They'll be plunged into the depths of the sea, never to surface again. All because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, it's a precious blood today. I'm a believer that regarding Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's my faith today. Anybody believe that Jesus is the way? Anybody believe Jesus is the truth? How about it? Anybody believe that Jesus is the life for every one of us? No man comes unto the Father except by him. Thank God for that revelation today. And in Acts chapter 8, we're told that there was a believer in particular who had not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We're not told his name, just that he was an Ethiopian eunuch. And he was leaving Jerusalem where he had gone to worship. So he was definitely a believer. He had faith in God. And as he was returning home from Jerusalem, he was in his chariot reading from the book of Isaiah. And I thought this morning, I wondered if that was the modern equivalent of texting while driving. But I looked at the passage and it says he was sitting, so he pulled over to the side of the road. And he was reading from Isaiah when Philip shows up. Philip the evangelist, he was marvelously transported there, and God got him in connection with this man. And he was reading about the Messiah in the book of Isaiah, the one that was to come, and particularly about his sacrifice of his life. And when Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "Well, I need somebody to explain all this," and showed him where he was reading. And he asked the question, he said, "Is this prophet Isaiah talking about himself or someone else?" You talk about an open door for an evangelist. Philip, from that point there, just started preaching Jesus Christ, explaining it all, and I won't go through the story, but explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ and letting him know that there was a new birth that he could have. And as they were, I guess they finally got in the, stopped reading and got back into the chariot, because as they went on their way, and I can just hear this in the best Shakespearean drama, the Ethiopian, you can say, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Ah, that was half good. You can hear. But they came to water. He said, "Can I be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you can be baptized." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And on the basis of that faith, they went down into the water. He was baptized in Jesus' name, and the scripture says, went on his way rejoicing. And if you're a believer today, we've got water. If you've not been baptized in Jesus' name, we've got clothes. You can be baptized this very day in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And I'm telling you, there's no better experience to know that all sins have been washed away through your faith and your obedience to the Word of God. It's available to any believer today that has not yet been baptized in His name. And then in Acts 19, we're told of some believers who had not yet received the Spirit of God as the Lord wants every believer to have. Paul showed up at Ephesus and met some disciples. They were believers. And he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they scratched their heads and said, "Well, we've never even heard of such a thing." Paul said, "Well, how were you baptized?" And they said, "Under John's baptism, John the Baptist." And that's all they knew, was what John had come preaching, and they were baptized under repentance. And so Paul explained, well, John came as a forerunner of the Messiah. He came preparing the way. He was baptizing under repentance, but his message was, "There's one coming after me, mightier than I. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And when they heard that message, the Bible says they too were baptized in Jesus' name. And when Paul laid his hands on them, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And today, if you're a believer, much like those disciples in Ephesus, you've not yet received the Spirit, or maybe you haven't heard that such a gift is available in 2017, I want you to know you can have the gift today. Because it is for everyone. When Jesus instructed those believers in Acts 1 to wait for the promise of the Father, which was identified as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he made it clear it was his expectation. No absenteeism. Everybody show up. I want every believer to have this. So I'm preaching today, and you can find this in numerous places in the scripture. It's God's will for every believer to have his Spirit. That's his expectation. That's what he wants for you. And a believer should want what God wants, shouldn't he? Shouldn't he? A believer should desire what God has. So if you've not yet received the Spirit, in fact, you can have it today. You can be a believer who enjoys the fullness of God's plan of salvation. Oh, anybody thankful for the understanding of Jesus' name baptism today? I tell you, I remember June 28th, 1970. The water was cold, but I went down in Jesus' name. I haven't had a cleaner feeling in my life since. When I came up out of that water, you talk about feeling clean. You talk about a release. Oh, I'm so glad for that understanding today of baptism in His name. Anybody glad that you have learned that you could have the gift of the Holy Ghost? Don't you remember that day, that night, that place when you first received the gift of the Spirit, how life-changing it was? That's all available to every believer today. Another synonym for the word believer that I came across is advocate. And as a verb, to advocate means, at least in part, to recommend publicly. And I'm a believer today. I advocate that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. That's why it's vital that I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why it's vital that believers share this news, because he doesn't want anybody to perish. Everybody is loved of God. Everybody in this sanctuary is loved of God. That's why he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm a believer that God wants to save everybody. I'm a believer, an advocate, that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He's no respecter of persons. Simon Peter was there on the day of Pentecost, and he, for quite some time, thought that the gift of the Spirit was only for Jews. But in Acts chapter 10, God very graphically, by way of a vision, let him know, nah, it's not exclusive. It's for everybody. Cornelius, an Italian, sent for him because an angel had told him to do so in a vision. And when Simon Peter showed up, he preached this message that I'm preaching today, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And as they heard that message, while he was still preaching, people were filled with the gift of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, it won't bother me one bit if you're a believer without it. You want to lift your hands and receive it while I'm preaching. It can happen. That's my faith today. That's my confidence in God's willingness to pour out his Spirit. If you want it, you can have it. That's what Simon Peter recognized. And when he saw they'd received the Spirit and not been baptized, he commanded them, you better get in the water and get baptized. Because that's part of God's plan. That's part of God's will. Be baptized in his name. I'm an advocate today that Jesus Christ will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. I'm an advocate that by his stripes we are healed. That's part of the atonement. When he was whipped on his back before being nailed to the cross, it was for our healing, the Bible says. That's why we anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. That's why we lay hands on the sick. Those are scriptural practices, all possible because of the stripes that Jesus took upon his back. I believe he is a healer by his stripes. I'm an advocate. I'm recommending publicly that you put your faith in the healer today because he is able. I'm a believer, an advocate that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, the days of miracles are not over. The days of supernatural demonstration are not past us. God's still doing the miraculous. He's still demonstrating the supernatural. Those of you that remember, we had a lady in our church. It was either last July or 2 Julys ago, I forget, on a Sunday morning, for all practical purposes, had a withered hand. But in this very sanctuary, in the name of Jesus Christ, that hand was straightened. A miracle right before our eyes. And there are other examples of what God has done. I'm advocating today. I'm recommending publicly. Put your faith in a miracle worker today. Put your faith in the one who has supernatural power beyond what we can do, beyond our ability, beyond human thinking and human ingenuity. I'm a believer today, and I advocate that God is a very present help in trouble. If you've come here with your world turned upside down and things are all out of joint, figuratively speaking, I want you to know you can call on the name of Jesus. And it's a very present help that will show up. And I recognize some needs here today can't be immediately handled in this service. But I want you to know God can put things in motion today right here. That in due course, in due time, they're going to all come together. And the answer will come if you have faith. I'm telling you, he's a very present help in time of trouble. And if that describes you today, I want you to call on that name. I want you to call on that name with faith today because he's a very present help. I'm a believer in that. And I'm an advocate also that God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. If you'll put him first, if you'll do things his way, I promise you God's going to take care of you. One way or another, some way, somehow, God's going to come through and provide all of your need. Oh, anybody want to go on record today that you're a believer? Anybody want to say, I have faith in Jesus Christ? I'm a believer. Anybody say today, I believe God saves. I believe God heals. I believe God provides. I believe God performs the miraculous. I believe God can do anything. Oh, is there any believer in the house tonight? Is there any believer in the house on this day that God is the answer? I would just use the words of Jesus. According to your faith, so be it unto you. According to you, you can find that written many times in the Gospels where Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you on the basis of your faith. And the great news is that when we put faith in God, it works. When we put faith in God, he responds to it. And there are many incidents in Scripture of faith in action. Matthew very conveniently puts together in chapters 8 and 9 a bunch of examples. If you haven't read those chapters or recently read them, you ought to go back and review them. Just one answer, one miracle after another in chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew. A leper was cleansed. A centurion's servant was healed of paralysis. Peter's mother-in-law healed of a fever. 2 demon-possessed men were set free. Another paralyzed man delivered. A woman's blood disease was taken away just by touching the hem of the garment of Jesus. A ruler's daughter was brought back to life. And 2 blind men were given their sight. Now, the details in these incidents are different, but here's the one common denominator, faith. They all had faith in Jesus Christ, and it brought the answer. That faith was rewarded. And there are many examples in this service today of rewarded faith. If people could be placed on the witness stand, they could testify this morning that God answers prayer. Brother Brady, you've told me personally more than once of God's numerous healings in your life. If we put you on the stand, you could tell some stories today. You could testify that God's a healer. Brother Fred Bradley, I saw you leaping in your praise. You could get on the stand today and talk about the transforming power of God, how he delivered you and brought you from darkness to light. You could tell about it right here. Now, Mike Morgan, good to see you today. About 3 years ago, was it? God marvelously transformed. You could get up here and testify that God does change lives. God does turn people. He reclaims. He renews. He refreshes. He makes us new in him. Oh, thanks be to God that it's not just wrapped up in the pages of this book, but it's reality today. It can happen today. God answers prayer. God delivers today. God saves today. God heals today. It's all possible on the basis of your faith today. It's all possible on the basis of your faith. Why don't we all stand together in the presence of the Lord? And if you have a need, I want to give you the opportunity to act on that faith. I want to give you the chance to put your faith in action. If you're a believer, you've not repented or been baptized or filled with the Spirit, this is your day. This is your time. You ought to do it today. And if you have a need, I want you to come this morning and pray in Jesus' name. If it's a financial need, if it's a need for healing, wisdom in some situation, even prayer that a relationship would be mended, all kinds of things are possible. In fact, all things are possible with God. And if you'll come today praying in the name of Jesus Christ, you can find that your faith will be rewarded. So I just want to open this altar today and let you come for needs. Let you come for things that you want to present to God. It'd be foolish to preach about believing and then not give you a chance to act on your faith. So would you come with whatever need there might be in your heart, whatever need there might be in your life, your family, and trust Jesus Christ. Come on, trust Jesus Christ. There's a lot of folks coming, a lot of folks coming. And I don't know the particular needs, don't need to. I just know God's able. He rewards faith. When you get here, I encourage you, lift your voice, call on Jesus' name. If you're a believer without a particular need, you're welcome to move among these that have come and pray, because the Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. Find somebody that's sick and lay your hand on him or her. Find somebody that needs the Spirit and pray that they'll receive it today. Believers, you're welcome to move among. And if you want to just come to affirm your faith wherever you are in the sanctuary, just affirm your faith today. I believe in God. I believe in his word. I believe in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's turn this whole place into a prayer meeting and let God minister. Let God move. Let God have his way. In the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Come on, your faith. It's not in anyone but God. Your faith. That's it, that's it. That's it. Lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on those that are distressed. Lay hands on those who desire something from God. These signs shall follow. These signs shall follow. Always looks out for you. Come on, affirm your faith today. He's my God. He's my God. Oh yes, he's my God.